Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. Welcome to Through the Bible, where we go from Genesis to Revelation, taking it one day at a time. And we're doing it in chronological order, which means we're doing it as it happened, not as it was written down. So what we're doing kind of right now during this month, we're trying to read a proverb a day because I used it so many times. And when I travel every weekend, we do seminars every weekend across America. I'm going to be out in Texas this next weekend. And we're going to Colorado the next weekend. We're going to be in Florida the next weekend. So we're somewhere different. And so people that listen to us online or follow our podcast or heard me on the radio, I said, well, how'd you do this? Well, I read a children's Bible storybook for 10 years, and I do have 2 degrees. I learned a lot in Bible school. I did. But I mostly learned by just reading the Bible. You learn a lot. Somebody quoted Billy Graham one time, you know, the greatest evangelist I think that ever lived. He said, if I had my life to live over again, I'd spend more time reading the Bible instead of books about the Bible. And that's a direct quote from Billy Graham. I thought that's phenomenal. So Proverbs 5, verse 1, this thing's loaded. Proverbs 5, now I'm reading again from the New Living Translation. I study the King James. I just don't speak King James. I got several translations that I like. My favorite is the New Living Translation, NLT. I think it reads really good. It's like a greased banana peel. And so I really like to read this on my own. When I'm just reading, I read New Living. So when I'm studying, I need the references. I need the concordances. So I pull that out of the King James or the New King James. So verse 1 of chapter 5 of Proverbs. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel. Then you will learn to be discreet and you will store up knowledge. The lips of an immoral woman are sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But the result is bitter as poison, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead down to the grave. She does not care about the path of life. She staggers down a crooked path and doesn't even realize where it leads. My son, listen to me. Never stray from what I'm saying. Run from her. Run from who? Well, half-dressed woman whose mouth's running all the time. He's going to list it very detailed here, but he's trying to warn him. The devil's going to try to set you up with an immoral person, so don't bite into it. Don't go near her door, the door of her house. If you do, you will lose honor. Be handed over to merciless people. Everything you have achieved in life, strangers will obtain your wealth. Someone else enjoy the fruit of your labor. Afterward, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body. What disease? Well, having sex with just anybody and everybody. You know, God made sex, and he thought it up. It's his idea. But he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, but with one woman, the love of your life, you know, the gift that God gave him. And so God matches people up. He knows what he's doing. And so he said, you start sleeping around just anybody and everybody, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body. You will say, I hated discipline. If only I had not demanded my own way. Oh, why didn't I listen to my teachers? Why didn't I pay attention to those who gave me instruction? Oh, I've come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace. Anybody's ever been caught in adultery? They're on TV. You know, you can name names, famous people. Everybody from presidents to famous preachers. You get caught, the devil's trying to set you up. What was it? Well, the devil's trying to tempt me with sin. Sin's got death attached to it. The devil's trying to kill you is what he's trying to do. So don't bite into it. Here's what he says. Verse 15. Drink water from your own well. Share your love with only your wife. Why spill the water of your springs in public? Having sex with just anybody. You should reserve it for yourselves. Don't share it with strangers. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She's a loving doe, a graceful deer. Let her breast satisfy you always. May you be captivated by her love Why be captive, my son, with an immoral woman, or embrace the breast of an adulterous woman? For the Lord sees clearly what a man does, examining his path that he takes. An evil man will be held captive by his own sins. There are the ropes that catch him and hold him. He will die for a lack of self-control. He'll be lost for his incredible folly. I just dealt with a couple yesterday, married almost 40 years. Well, he's been having affairs with other women. And and the verbiage, he's repented. He was crying, please forgive me. But he's done it before. He's done it several times before. Well, he's so humble, sounds so humble. And he's crying. Well, the wife's good. She's gotten really great godly counsel. She said, no, that's it. That's it. Well, 2 hours later, she's going to the house trying to get some stuff. Well, he's come out the door with the lady he's living with again. So 2 hours after he's repented his wife, I'm sorry, I'll stop it. No, he's still shacked up with the lady in his own house. People just lie. And by the way, liars go to hell. You ever read that? It's not good. So listen to the wise counsel. Learn how to be discreet. Store up knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman are sweet as honey, and the mouth is smoother than oil, but it leads to death. So don't bite into that. Anyway, we're going through the Bible one book at a time. We're in Exodus chapter 39 today. Great, great book with all kinds of detail. God's given instruction to Moses, what the people are to do, building a tabernacle. So in verse 1 of chapter 39 of Exodus, it says, for the priests, craftsmen made beautiful garments of blue, purple, scarlet cloth, clothing to be worn while ministering in the holy place. God said, I'm even going to tell you what to wear when you come into my place. You're going to dress up. You're not just coming as you want to. It says this, the same cloth was used in Aaron's sacred garments, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The ephod was made from fine linen cloth, embroidered with thread, blue, purple, scarlet yarn. A skilled craftsman made gold thread, people. Do you understand that? Gold thread in thin sheets, cutting into the fine strips, then embroidering it into the linen, the purple, the blue, and the scarlet. Made two shoulder pieces for the ephod, which were attached to the corners, so it could be tied down. They also made an elaborate woven sash of the same material, fine linen cloth, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and gold thread, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Two onyx stones were attached to his shoulder. Attached to the shoulders were pieces of the ephod that were set in gold filigree. The stones were engraved with the names of the tribes of Israel, just as initials are engraved on the seal. These stones served as reminders to the Lord concerning the people of Israel. All this was done just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The chest pieces made of the same style of ephod, crafted from the same fine linen cloth and embroidered with gold thread and blue and purple and scarlet yarn. It was doubled over, from a pouch, 9 inches square. Four rows of gemstones were set across it. The first row was a red carnelian and arsenite, an emerald. In the second row, the turquoise, the sapphire, the white moonstone. There were jacinth, agate, and mints. In the fourth row, there's beryl, onyx, and jasper. Each of these gemstones was set in gold. The stones were engraved like a seal. Each had a name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. To attach the chest piece to the ephod, they made an embroidered cord of pure gold. They also made two gold rings attached to the top of the corners of the chest piece. Two gold cords were put through the gold rings chest piece, and the ends of the cords were tied to the gold rings and shoulder pieces, the ephod. Two more gold rings were attached to the lower side of the corners of the chest piece next to the ephod. The next two gold rings were attached the ephod near the sash. Now, I'm telling you, when you're reading it, you're trying to get a picture. But they've made videos. I remember I ordered one time from Israel, and they just showed it one step at a time, one piece. And it was incredible, the detail, how this thing was laid out, how it was made. God is a very detailed God. Blue cords used to attach the bottom rings to the chest piece. to the rings on the ephod. And this way, the chest piece can be held securely to the ephod above the beautiful sash. All this was done just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The robe of the ephod was woven entirely of blue yarn with an opening for Aaron's head in the middle of it. The edge of this opening was reinforced with woven collar. It could be, it could not tear. Pomegranates were attached to the bottom edge of the robe. They were finely crafted with blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. Bells of gold were placed between the pomegranates around the yarn, with the bells and the pomegranates alternating around the hem. The robe was to be worn when Aaron ministered to the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded. By the way, the bells were down there. You can hear them ding when the priest was in the holy place. He would walk around waving the incense, present it to God. They know he's still alive because he's still walking, because the bells would ring. If the bells stop ringing, that means something good is not good. You want to make sure there's some noise. Tunics were made for Aaron and his sons of fine linen cloth. The turban, the headdresses, and the underclothes were made of fine linen. The sashes were made of fine linen cloth embroidered with blue, purple, scarlet yarn, just as God had commanded. Finally, they made the sacred medallion of pure gold to be worn in front of the turban. Using the techniques of the engraver, they inscribed it with these words: "Set apart as holy to the Lord." It's engraved on the front of the hat, basically. It's gold, and it says it's set apart as holy to the Lord. This medallion was tied to the turban with a blue cord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And so the last of the tabernacle was finished. The Israelites had done everything just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Brought the entire tabernacle to Moses, sacred tent with all of its furnishings, the clasps, the frames, the cross bearers, the posts, the bases, the layers of tan skins, goat skins, leather curtain, the clothes that Moses, the most holy place. The Ark of the Covenant and its carrying poles, the Ark's cover, the place of atonement, the table and all its utensils, the bread, the presence, the gold lampstand, accessories, the lamp cups, oil for lighting, the gold altar, anointing oil, fragrant incense, the curtain of the entrance of the sacred tent, the bronze altar, the bronze grating, the poles, utensils, large wash basin, pedestal, the curtains for the walls of the courtyard, and the posts for holding them up as the curtain of the courtyard entrance. The cords, the tent pegs, the articles used in the operation of the tabernacle, the beautifully crafted garments to be worn while ministering in the holy place, the holy garments Aaron and the priests for his sons to wear on duty. So the people of Israel followed all the Lord's instructions to Moses. Moses inspected the work and blessed them because it had been done as the Lord had commanded him. What did he do? Well, he blessed them. "You did exactly as I said," God said. God said, "You did exactly as I asked you to do. Every detail to the linen, the gold thread, the sash, the engraved headpiece, is just like God wanted." So every time anybody went to the tabernacle, the priest or the people around it, they knew this is a very detailed God. There are no secrets with God. There's nothing hidden to God. God knows all, sees all, loves all. He is a good God. It's a great thing, guys. Hope you enjoyed this. Get your Bible, do some reading. It'll really bless you. Tune in next time for more Through the Bible with Joe McGee. God bless.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.